Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, Reagan, come get your man. We need Coach Elko to call in. Let's go. Let's go, Reagan. Work some magic, okay? I know you're listening. So,
only get him every 2 weeks, and like, we got to talk about the Notre Dame game. I think it's him right here, so we still have to go back, which coaches hate to do, but
well,
that's such a big win for them.
I want to go ahead. I was just watching Cole Kubelik and Roman Harper talk about this game. And did you see the Auburn-Oklahoma game?
I did. Why?
Yeah. 9 sacks. Oklahoma had 9 sacks against Auburn last week. And A&M is Defensive Line University.
Yeah,
so I imagine they had to be licking their chops watching that tape.
Well, let's
Coach is joining us right now on ESPN. Coach Mike Elko here with us once again, and we really appreciate you joining us, Coach. Yeah, 9 sacks, Coach. I know you watched that game. You were breaking down that film and whatnot. Your defensive lineman must have loved that, seeing that last week with Auburn and Oklahoma. I would imagine that Jackson Arnold in that building this Saturday – I imagine you guys are going to be coming after him a bunch this weekend.
No, yeah. I think obviously that's the key to any defense is your ability to pressure the quarterback. Obviously, Oklahoma did a really, really good job last week. And, you know, what I told our guys early in the week, though, is you know, that doesn't guarantee or mean anything for us. You know, I'm sure they're going to be a prideful group and they're going to come out and play their best football Saturday. And, you know, we're going to have to try to find ways to make him uncomfortable back there.
Coach, we only get you every 2 weeks. I got to go back just for a second to that Notre Dame game because we didn't get to talk to you since then. Can you talk about the difference that Concepcion and Craver have made to your offense? I mean, you got them. One guy is a ball winner in air, just an explosive leaper, amazing body control. And the other guy just couldn't be guarded on crossing routes and dig routes, and it turned into huge explosives for you. That's got to really, you know, those explosives were key in that game between two explosive offenses. Can you talk about what they've meant for Marcel and for your offense in general?
Yeah, I think obviously we said this a lot this offseason. There was a huge need for us to improve the passing game, and that was on every level. And we wanted to be able to be more explosive. We wanted to make sure the timing got better. You know, some of that was what we called, how we called it. Some of it was going out and finding personnel who could help. And I think we've got a lot of speed and twitch now in that wide receiver room. Obviously, Casey and Mario have come in and done a phenomenal job, and those two guys are the headlines. And, you know, both of them have had really, really big games for us. But, you know, we also think Terry Bussey continues to get better every week, and we think Ashton Bethel-Roman is a kid who's going to continue to create plays for himself. And so we feel like that entire room and just the entire passing game in general is upgraded, and that was something that we felt like had to happen. You know, if you look at Texas A&M for the last 6 years, that just hasn't been the case. And so we needed to be more explosive, and certainly that won us a ball game in South Bend.
As a former DC, now head coach, A&M has been a team that you like to pound. Let's go down the field, run the ball down your throat, big long drives, and now you're a big play team. Which is more demoralizing for the defense, coach? Giving up that big play or those long drives that end in touchdowns?
Yeah, I just think you have to, if you look at the teams that have won this conference, they all have had explosive passing games. You know, and there's a physicality that you have to have. There's a level of defense you've got to play. You have to be able to run the ball when you need to, for sure. But in the SEC, if people are going to load boxes against you and put numbers into the box, those are hard matchups. No matter how good your O-line is, no matter how good your running backs are, you know, that's a lot of big athletic bodies in and around the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, if you look back at the history of this league, there's a level of passing attack that has always been necessary to have success. And yeah, I think that's the direction we're trying to move this thing.
Coach. And, coach, if you fall behind – You know, it's not, oh, wow, how are we going to be able to come back? We know we can make a big play and get right back into this football game.
Yeah, and that's three straight road games we've done that, going back to last year. And again, that's not, we like to stop living in that world where we get down 17-7. You know, we got down last year 21-0 at Auburn and came back and put the game into overtime because Marcel threw the ball well. And so, yeah, you don't want to live in that world, but we obviously have a comfort that the game's never out of reach with the way we can play offense.
Coach, you're from a defensive standpoint, what's going to be the key to taking on? There have been some games where Auburn's cranked it up on the ground, and in others where they haven't been quite as successful. Defensively, what are you learning about your team in the early stages? You weren't lying about those two running backs at Notre Dame. Holy cats. You went against Chubb. You went against Chubb and Sony Michel, and you said these might be the two best combination that you faced since you were a coach, and they were really, really good. Where do you stand now, you think, as a run defense?
Yeah, I think, you know, our average yards per carry has gone down every game we played, which is obviously trending in the right direction. It's still not where it needs to be, but at least it's trending in the right direction. I think for us defensively, it's just all about consistency. It's our ability to consistently play at the level we're capable of, because I think when we do that, you know, we've shown that we can be really good. We just have to find ways and find ways as coaches and players to do it more often. And I think that's our biggest challenge. And, that's the challenge we had during the bye week. That's the challenge we've laid out to them going into this game. And, you know, see if we could put together, you know, four full quarters of football, offense, defense, and special teams as we head into SEC play, because that's what it's going to take.
Mike Elko, head coach, Texas A&M, with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This week it was announced your three permanent opponents, Texas, LSU, and Missouri. What do you think about the three?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we knew Texas and LSU would be there. You know, the third one could have gone in a lot of different directions. It wound up going Missouri, and that's a great game. It's a great team. It's a great opponent. Got a lot of respect for Coach Drinkwitz. And, you know, but when you look at, you know, when you look at, I think every program woke up this morning saying they have a really hard schedule next year. And, you know, that's the depth of the SEC, and that's the challenge of the SEC. And yeah, I think the challenge moving forward is going to be on the playoff committee to figure out how to value that. You know, we're going to play, we have seven teams on our schedule next year that are currently in the top 20. How is that going to get valued? Because going through that gauntlet at 9-3 or 8-4 is certainly going to be more impressive than some of these other teams who played no ranked teams going 10-2.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this ain't your dad's Missouri team anymore. Coach Drinkwitz is doing a hell of a job up there.
Yeah, he is for sure. I've known Coach Drinkwitz for a long time, going back to when I was a D coordinator at Wake and he was the offensive coordinator at NC State, and ton of respect for him and the job that they do. And you know, we go up there in a few weeks, and that'll be a big challenge this year. And you know, that'll be a game that'll be a challenge every year that we're here.
Well, they got a lot of play. I mean, they're cranking out a lot of talent at multiple positions, NFL talent. So it's they have recruited extremely well. You guys have recruited extremely well. Had a lot of NFL talent from those two programs, but obviously you're not facing them. You're facing Auburn this week. Coach, listen, we know you've got to get back to preparing for the game. We're not going to take up your time too much. Thanks for joining us today. I do want to ask you one quick question, though. I know your analytics and sports science guy, Craddock. I got to meet Craddock a few years back. Can you talk? And I've seen some of his tech, and it's just like just some of the stuff he's done has just been really incredible. Can you talk about the importance of having that kind of technology, the computer vision, the things that you have from a scouting standpoint of opponents now?
Yeah, I think we want to be a team that lives on the high end of sports science and tries to use every advantage from every resource that we can. And, you know, Tommy Moffitt and his staff do a phenomenal job. Craddock's a big piece of it. And it goes into a lot of different ways. It goes into, you know, how we practice, how we train in the off season, how we make sure that we stay fresh throughout the season, and then gets into a lot of opponent scout data and how we can help our players match up the right way. And so, yeah, we try to take advantage of every opportunity that we can to create what we're looking for.
Tommy Moffitt was my brother's strength coach at John Curtis way back in the day.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, when he played high school there. Wow. I think he might have been at LSU when my dad was there. I can't remember if Coach Moffitt was there or not. But for those who don't know, he's been around, and he is one of the really great strength coaches in college football.
Yeah, he's the best.
That is Mike Elko every other week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, go get him this weekend. I know it's going to be rocking in College Station. So thanks for taking the time with us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, there is Mike Elko joining us every other week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big win against Auburn. I just feel bad for Jackson Arnold this weekend. If he gave up, if OU gets 9 sacks on him, man, this Texas A&M is going to bring the house.
Yeah, but the problem is what's going to be interesting is A&M as a run defense has really been spotty at times this year.
Well, look who they face, though.
That's going to – well, I mean, UTEP got them for – no, Texas San Antonio got them for over 200. So that ain't a kill. They're not exactly a killer. So you got to be able to – I mean, that's one of the problems is they couldn't stop UTSA. Mm-hmm. So I think – and, you know, they lost 3 pros on their defensive line. Three guys who weren't in the first 3 rounds were lost from their defensive line. So it's not always easy to – and that's why it's going to get better as the year goes on. I would expect their run defense to look completely different by week 8 than it does in week 2 because these guys are just going to play a lot more football by then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
One of the really good games. I wonder if they had Missouri, if they decided to pair them with Missouri because they came into – number one, you can't have – well, you never know how teams are going to be. On its face, you think LSU and Texas will always be really tough matchups. You know, different teams go through different lulls and down periods. Texas wasn't always a tough matchup, and you know, LSU had its down – not for a while, it hasn't. But Missouri came in at the same time as A&M, so I wonder if that's one of the reasons why they threw them in there, because it's kind of a historical and somewhat regional matchup. They're north of you, so it makes a little bit more sense than headed SEC East, you know, going somewhere in that neighborhood, or just another SEC, quote, West team,
yeah,
like Mississippi State, who's got way more, you know, it makes more sense because these other teams in the SEC have way more established rivalries because of their history. Missouri doesn't. They came in the same time you did.
Yeah, you're both relatively newcomers.
Yeah.
Right? Arkansas would have made some sense, though, the old Southwest mm-hmm. Conference. Mm-hmm. That would have made some
Who's
sense.
Who's Texas 3?
Texas has all Southwest Conference.
So it is Arkansas. They got Arkansas.
A&M, Oklahoma, and Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Arkansas is the 3rd. That makes perfect sense.
Yep. I mean, that's a long rivalry, too, right there. All right, let's break it. Thank you, Coach Elko. We appreciate it. 713-780-3776. Anybody who wants to get in here, you're more than welcome. I want to talk about my peeps over at Brinkman Quality Roofing. Jason has been doing this. He is, I'm telling you, when you talk about, you know, a guy whose family's been doing this for over 50 years in the Houston area, you think they haven't seen everything. You think they don't know everything. Every different kind of roof that you could possibly have. Now the solar, it's solar shingles. He told me, listen, if you're going to get a new roof now, just get the solar shingles because they literally pay for themselves. And a lot of people don't want the solar panels up there. It's just too weird looking. These are shingles, okay? And they're so good. And it's going to save you money in the long run. You are going to actually it'll pay for itself. So if you're looking for a great new roof, check that out. They got tin roofs. They got every kind of roof you could possibly want. Okay. They also have siding. They do that as well. How about a free inspection of your roof? Let them give you a bill of health, or let them tell you exactly what's going on. It's wrong and it's free. Free consultation, 844-215-2876. If you haven't done anything with your roof in some time, you need to. Brinkman, Brinkmann, Quality, BrinkmanQuality.com.
Talking inside on us. So that's going to make some of you mad the way I'm hitting that accent, but that's just the way it is. It's authentic. I'm authentic. I think you know that. And the food is authentic at Taqueria Sarandas. You're going to get real Mexican food. You're not going to get someone's interpretation of it. real Mexican food, from the tortillas all the way to the carne asada, everything is going to be authentic. And you are going to get delicious food waiting for you for breakfast, for lunch, or for dinner at very reasonable prices. And it's something that is filling. It's something that is flavorful. And really, frankly, it's a great time to hang out and enjoy yourself with your friends. Margaritas, beers, Mexican food, it all goes together. But did you know that while you're at the location, you can post up at the sports bar they have? They've turned in select locations, their bar areas, into complete sports bars with multiple TVs and the ability to watch all the games you want. They have different menus at the sports bar to where you've got, you know, a kind of a more fun, like, you know, more bar type food, I should say, and drink specials, obviously, at happy hour. So make sure that Taqueria Sarandas is on your wish list if you haven't been there before. If you have been there before, why are you waiting to go back? Get back in there, grab breakfast this morning, lunch this afternoon, or dinner this evening at one of the multiple locations. Just search which one is nearest you, Taqueria Sarandas.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. We haven't mentioned Gundy. Gundy got fired. A lot of talk about Zach Robinson possibly taking over. He's with the Falcons now. He's their offensive coordinator. Ryan Silverfield is doing nice things with Memphis. Memphis with a big win this weekend. They're 4-0. Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator from Oklahoma. It's always good to steal from Oklahoma. That's always nice. And Doug Meacham. Love Meech. Meech was the first guy that offered JT out of high school. So when he was here with the Cougs, and that was great. So he'll always I'll always have a fondness for Doug Meacham.
They call him the Meech. They call him Meech Dog.
They call him Meech. But okay. He's the interim now. And sometimes, you know, you move in. Let's see how they play now going forward. That's a mess. That is a mess over there in Stillwater. Gundy kind of just kind of, I think he just lost a lot of interest. He certainly wasn't as. What happens with Dabo? What happens with Dabo if they continue to play the way that they have played now?
Man.
He says, I'm going to get a job. You guys can fire me, but I'm going to get a job. Okay. He will.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. How about Dabo to Alabama if things don't work out for DeBoer?
You think they're going to want him after coming off a losing
Clemson? He's an Alabama guy.
Yeah, he had his chance. They don't want that anymore.
No.
They don't want the stench of. They'll try to get Nick back if DeBoer doesn't get it. I think
Nick ain't going back to Alabama.
Look, here's the thing. DeBoer is a really good coach.
Yes,
the question's going to be, is he the right guy for – not everyone's the right guy for Alabama. Not everyone's the right guy for the SEC.
Yeah.
And I think he's got to prove it. I don't know. Like, I thought he was great. I think Ryan Grubb, his offensive coordinator, is fantastic at Washington. They helped turn Michael Penix into a first-round draft pick, because I don't think Michael Penix – I didn't have him great.
He looked great last week.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know that Michael Penix is as good as he looked at Washington, but I think DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, who they just got back this year, they demoted their offense coordinator to a lower position just because they got Grubb back, who spent 1 year in Seattle, and then Seattle got rid of Grubb and the offensive line coach. But I think DeBoer's a really good coach. I just, you know, I don't know how he's going to fit at Alabama. The effort level, the physicality, some of the stuff that Alabama showed against that in a Florida State game were extremely disappointing. No, didn't look anywhere near what we're used to seeing from Alabama teams. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, not everyone's made for Texas. I would say for A&M can be tough. People don't realize, John, you probably know this, they've got a lot of alumni who like to get in the mix, who like to have their voices heard at A&M. It's not always easy at Texas A&M. Texas is the same way. Not everyone works at Texas. We already know, famously, Charlie Strong had no backing from Red McCombs. Like, they didn't talk to me about him. Like, I didn't know they were supposed to talk to you, Red.
Well,
but if you're the money guy.
Yeah, Mac established a program where they had access.
Mm-hmm. Because he knew how to play the game.
And then they wanted that to continue. And when he doesn't, then they're all, okay, well, this is the wrong guy. This is the wrong guy. So, right. You know, those big money guys, they want their access, and they want, you know, to feel like they're part of the program and have say in the program, when, in fact, you know, that's the coach's job, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. You know, nobody had more access than T. Boone, right, at Oklahoma State. And rightfully so, he owned the university. Just like Tillman has all of the say that he should have at the University of Houston, because they, you know, it's Tillman Fertitta University, and you know what, rightfully so. When you pay for the program, then you should have a bunch of access. But it has been Gundy has turned that thing. Hey, listen, when you got 65, 70 new guys every year, it's going to fall apart. You can't sustain that. You've got to have some continuity in the program, and there was none.
No. Gundy got to where he just wasn't even likable.
No. Well, and not only that, I don't think he was disinterested.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
It's funny how universally, I couldn't believe this. They were in the early in the second quarter losing to Tulsa, and they were a double-digit favorite, like something like 18, something really high. And everyone on Twitter, everything you saw is like, this is it for Gundy, this is it. It was like universally across social media, everyone was saying, oh, well, this is it for Gundy, he'll get fired after this. And that ended up happening.
Well, right. I mean, there's been a lot of that. I thought the week before he was fired. I thought he was fired last week, not this week.
Early in the season.
Yeah. Man. So, yeah. Well, hey, look at, speaking of play calling and all of that stuff, Brian Callahan's already relinquished his play calling duties. At Tennessee. He said, nah, I'm not doing it. I'm
trying to hang
that
on to your job is what it. Well, that's probably coming. You know, that may be pressure coming down from ownership or GM.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because, I mean, well, nobody's as involved as Indianapolis' owner, but I would imagine after watching what they've been doing these last couple of weeks that, you know, Callahan said, or it came from on high, you need to give that up. And who is it? Bo Hardigree? He's going to be taking over play calling duties this week. If I'm the Texans, man, I'm throwing a lot of exotics at them, because this is a guy who's taking over for the first time. If I'm the Texans, I'm going to do a lot of different stuff to try to fool not only a rookie, but a rookie play caller making his first ever play calling duties.
Well, don't worry. They'll be doing the same thing to the Texans, I'm sure.
I'm sure they will, but the Texans offense, they're so smart. This team is so smart that there's nothing you can throw at this team.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point.
Listen, that is even more. I mean, you got the Texans this week, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what number you could. I think the Texans blow them out. I think the Texans just blow them up. And
okay.
Yeah. No, there's nothing that I haven't seen from this Texans team that doesn't say wide open, nothing but points, points, points.
They're desperate. I mean, they're absolutely desperate. And like DJ Bienema said, boy, DJ kind of laid some things out there, I thought, just talking about how, you know, they don't really have a dog on the – you know, Steve Smith told me something interesting, the wide receiver – and he's friends and really, or he's friends and associates with a lot of wide receivers still in the league. And he talks to a lot of, he's got really great intel, and especially the wide receiver position and how different rooms are operating. He's friends with wide receiver coaches. And he told me that the reason that Stephon Diggs was always going to be okay with the Texans is because Tank Dell is the alpha in the room. I said, Tank Dell? He said, oh yeah, Tank is that guy in the room. Tank is not, you know, I'm going to fight you or one of those things, but Tank is the mouth in the room. Tank is the guy that talks. Tank is the guy that people kind of rally around, which I was, you know, I was surprised to hear that. I was really surprised to hear it, but I know that that's not really Nico's personality, but, and he's obviously co-signed by C.J. Stroud, who loves Tank Dell, but I was kind of surprised to hear that, that Tank was kind of the guy in the locker room, and you know, he hasn't played this year. I don't know. You got a rookie. You got a quiet Nico Collins, according to DJ Bienema. You got a couple rookies on there. Justin Watson, who's just a journeyman wide receiver, basically. You got Christian Kirk, who's a quiet veteran. The question we didn't ask DJ Bienname when he was on, and if you didn't hear him, you should go back and listen on the podcast. It's worth your time. A question I have that he probably wouldn't want to give a straight answer on the record because it could come back and be a pain in the ass for him is, how hard is it going to be to find somebody that CJ buys in with and really likes a lot? Do you have to always make CJ happy as an offensive coordinator? CJ, you know, I get the feeling based on conversations I had before the draft with CJ, you know, only dealt with Ryan Day. He didn't deal with the offensive coordinator, quote unquote coordinator. He wasn't even the play caller. So CJ's kind of very particular about who he likes to deal with. And I don't think he loved dealing with Bobby Slowick by the end of year two. I wonder if that's very quietly an issue for that team, that CJ has to have the right guy and everything has to be perfect or he's going to be kind of in his feelings a little bit.
And listen.
I think he's a good – I think he has leadership qualities, John. I think he's a hard worker. But, you know, I wonder if he needs to have things his way for him to really be locked in.
Well, I mean, when DJ – was talking about, you know, if it comes down to it, and it's not there, but whether or not the organization sticks with D'Amico or they stick with the quarterback, and you always choose the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure? Are we sure?
I don't know in this
And instance. First of all, is the quarterback going to stick with you? Because you know who his agent is.
Mm-hmm.
You know he can't. He's got a pouty face right now.
That's Deshaun Watson's agent, for those who don't know. And we know how that ended with Deshaun.
Right. And he's got a pouty face right now that, you know, I don't know. If things don't turn around, I'm not sure that the quarterback is going to say, hey, this is where. I'm not sure that you choose the quarterback over the coach, because I'm not sure that you can rely on the. First of all, is he a guy that you give the max contract to right now? And the answer is no. The answer is no. I'm not sure that CJ is a franchise quarterback right now. We knew after year one, yeah, rah, 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 you were quarterback rich, and everybody else was quarterback poor, Lance. They were the poors.
I don't know who said that.
And now, are we quarterback rich?
No.
No.
We're in the middle class, and I would even argue that right now we're looking like lower middle class. Yeah. Hard to believe, but that's where we are. And until CJ looks different, I can't say anything. Do things need to be better? Yes. For CJ, yes. Does CJ need to be better? Yes. It's the same thing as last year. People tried to – they wanted to avoid it and blame it on Bobby Slowick, and they thought everything would be good if you fixed Bobby Slowick. It was never just Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
There was always multiple issues at play, and I think those issues are more pronounced now because now you got a rookie play caller who knows less than Slowick, who has less experience. And you got receivers that are having a hard time getting open. And you got a quarterback who has become a little bit jumpy when pressure hits him. And you've got a team who doesn't handle blitzes well. And you're going to have some inconsistency at that left tackle. You know, I thought he was really more of a right tackle. I know he's played left tackle. I thought I'm still not convinced that athletically Ursary is a full-time left tackle.
Well, Josh Hines-Allen proved not yet.
Well, he wasn't ready. Anymore. He certainly wasn't ready to take him on.
And they weren't ready to.
That whole thing
was just so poorly executed by the offense. All right, 713-780-3776. You got a problem at home? Maybe Zadik Jewelers can help you.
Zadik is, look, they don't want to just be the ones who get you out of the doghouse, but I promise you it will work. I promise you, if you get those new earrings, or it depends on what your problem is. It may take a diamond. It may take a tennis bracelet. That's a big problem. But tennis bracelet fixes everything. Trust me. Have you ever seen a tennis bracelet? Unbelievable. There's not a woman alive that wouldn't love to have a tennis bracelet. But there's so much more that they can do, from necklaces to diamond pendants to earrings to those tennis bracelets to bracelets in general, women's watches, and men's watches, of course. You've got the luxury watches on both sides. The top makers in the entire world are available there. This is the best jewelry you're going to find in the city of Houston. Over four decades, simply back up my statement. And they've been there on Post Oak the entire time. They moved into their new location a couple of years back. They're at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, and it is 28,000 square feet of incredible jewelry and knowledgeable sales staff who can help you find exactly what it is that is going to blow her away and make her fall in love with you even harder than she did, or get you out of the doghouse if you need to be out of the doghouse. Is Zadig Jewelers. Don't forget Watchtoberfest. If you want to read up more about that, you can go to the website. Drinks, food, coffee, and incredible watches with unique timepieces that have not been seen up to this point. They're all going to be there October 3rd and October 4th. For more information, go to the website, Zadig.com.
So it's Ryder Cup week, and the first thing I think of when I think of Ryder Cup and excellence in golf is Billy Brown. Billy Brown from Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Actually, the first thing I think of when I think of Billy Brown's golf game is toilets, okay? And that's the first thing I think of because, well, Billy's really terrible at golf. But you know what that tells me? Billy's inability to play golf is that he cares more about plumbing than he does golf, okay? I'm okay because I don't care about anything, right? Okay, so that there's that. So with Billy, I just think of how great his plumbing abilities are, and with so much time being spent on plumbing, his golf game sucks. So here's the deal: is if you have any issue, you want a guy, you don't want a plumber who's great at golf. You don't want that, and you don't have that at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. What you got is a guy that's terrible at golf because he spends so much time making sure that your plumbing is working great. Okay, that's what you want. That's what you need in a plumber. You don't need a good golfer, and you don't have one with Billy. So here's the deal. It doesn't matter what issue that you have. They're going to come to your house absolutely free. They're going to give you a free consultation, and then they're going to give you a great deal on whatever issues that you have and fixing it. You have to have a plumber. You have to have somebody who sucks at golf, and that's Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You're looking for that plumber, okay? I got him for you. You give Billy a call or go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
I love doing a radio spot where I just talk about how crappy a golfer the owner is. That's my favorite.
Why do people like you?
No one likes me.
No, they do. I don't get it. Like, I saw it at the appreciation party, listener appreciation party. People like you. Your friends who happen to want to do business with us, they like you for some reason. All they do is get name checked and told in the Houston. People who are listening to us find out they're bad golfers, they're terrible people.
Yeah, like Yanni?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yet, they want to hang out with you.
That's one of many.
They just want to... Well, he just went after Billy Brown about how bad he is at golf. And yet, they didn't want to hang out.
Billy gives him money to say that.
I know.
That's the ironic part.
Billy gives him money to talk about his company and how great they do what you do a good, fine job of. But also, right. I don't know if Billy paid you extra to tell people how crappy he is at things.
I don't think he did.
Did he give
extra, but that's what you get what you pay for.
I don't know that. Well, that's not what he paid for.
Well,
he paid for us to tell people about. And by the way, that's just real. We use them all the time. As a matter of fact, more than... I wish I had to,
right.
Except for the fact that I know he'll get out there. Billy's the best.
He's the best at plumbing.
But he sucks. What else?
He sucks at golf.
That doesn't feel like it's necessary to
say. Well, no, it is, because if he was good at golf, then you'd know he was spending too much time on the golf course, and he's not. Well,
no, he is.
Well, to be clear, Billy doesn't actually come out to every home, so the business owner isn't the one who's always fixing your plumbing. So
no,
I don't think Billy needs you to tell people he sucks at golf and that means he's a good plumber.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know who else sucks at golf is Yanni. Well, I mean, he's terrible.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because
Greek wings.
Because this hour is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. You know what? They're working on lunch right now. They're working in that kitchen. Bring you that brisket. Bring you the fajitas.
Hey, we'll be waiting
bring you for all the good food. Not playing golf. He sucks at golf. Okay? So I know he's not on a golf course right now. I know he's getting ready for a big day of barbecue.
I don't know who owns Strictly HEB. I don't know who's the CEO anymore or whatever. But imagine, like, the Astros are like, look, if you like great fajita meat, go to HEB. You know why? Because that guy sucks at golf. He doesn't spend enough time. He doesn't spend enough time on the golf course. It's because he's making you your fajitas. That doesn't compute because the guy making the fajitas isn't the guy who owns the company.
You don't know. You don't know.
I do know that. I've seen those guys back there, and they don't say, hey, this is undercover boss.
Scott might be back
undercover
there.
Undercover boss.
And I'm making fajitas today.
Scott might be back there going, hey, this needs a little more salt.
At every location.
You don't know.
Yanni, you couldn't put any makeup on Yanni and give him prosthetics. Yanni looks like Yanni. He ain't fooling nobody on Undercover Boss. Yanni's the most Yanni-looking person I've ever seen.
Well, yeah,
the only person who looks more like Yanni is his brothers.
Yeah. No, they're all Yannis. All the Yannis.
Bunch of Yannis, yeah.
That's a bunch of Yannis. That's what they are. Yeah. Frankie and Jamie probably aren't happy about that, but sorry. No, whenever we talk about the Greeks, Chad always goes, oh, yeah, all them Yannis. All them Yannis. That's what they are. Billy, sorry, I'm sorry, but I just had to make my point. Just had to make a point about your terrible golf game.
Hey, speaking of golf, did you see Ed Ogeron trying to get people hyped up? I'm sure you saw, John. He was at the Ryder Cup yesterday, and he's like, all right, on the count of three, we're going to the USA. Like, we love USA. We'll tell everybody USA. All right, 1, 2, 3, USA, USA. Did you see him doing that?
I didn't see it.
The shirt stayed on for now, but when it's officially...
Oh, it's coming off.
When it's a fit, when does Ryder Cup start?
Thursday? Oh, first thing that comes up when you put in Ed Orgeron, Ryder Cup.
Yeah. He's already getting him hyped up, and the shirt is on for now, but it ain't staying on. He goes to weddings and he takes his shirt off.
I know.
I know you saw the one where they were, like, Ed Orgeron was dancing and singing.
Yep.
I mean, I can't believe when my brother's at Nicholls State playing football, they call him Bebe Ogeron. And he said Bebe was there because he had gotten in a fight in Miami. It's like Miami just said, we can't deal with this. This guy's a psychopath. And it was his last day. You know, he had a drinking problem. They got rid of him. The only place it would take him was a Cajun place, Nicholls State, South Louisiana. And Ed Ogeron, who was this, you know, really highly coveted, touted young coach at that time, on the staff, and my brother's like, man, it was, you know.
Well, at that time, he was having a good time now.
Oh, really good time.
Really good
time. Well, he had to have less good times because that's how he built himself back up into being, you know, a coach. And eventually won a national championship until LSU wanted to. You got to get him out of there. You got to get on to the next one.
Loud and clear now. Loud and proud, baby. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
USA. 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 USA! USA! USA!
Loud and proud, baby!
Loud
and clear now! Loud and clear now!
He was perfect for that 19 team, though. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
He stayed out of the way.
Just let them do whatever they want, and they go win, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't screw it up is what his job was.
Let Brady do what Brady do. Let Aranda do what Aranda do. Mm-hmm. And go get him.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Yep, and he was just the face, that's all. And the rah-rah guy. He was perfect. It was perfect. And then, but then, you know, his extracurricular activities.
He enjoyed himself after winning that title.
He sure did. He sure did.
Some people can get you there. I don't know that Ed Ogeron was ever going to be a maintainer.
Yeah, keep you there.
Of status, of what they were. And they lost a lot.
But yeah, he was. How many players were drafted? 19?
Oh, it was insane.
You couldn't possibly keep that up.
Unbelievable amount of talent.
Right. And then the next year, Alabama had the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And then Ohio State had it. And then Georgia had it.
Though.
Like, everyone's threatening the last team's record. You know, Ohio State last year, Georgia the year before, 2 years before,
Michigan.
Alabama, Michigan. And then, of course, LSU was... It was one of the most fun that I've ever seen. That team was so much fun to watch.
This LSU team is interesting in that, you know, offensively they're not They're not what they'll be better, but that defense is really, really good. That defense is really good. That'll be interesting to see if they get to if it's good enough to get them to the playoff. If Nussmeier will play better.
They got to go, what, to Ole Miss this weekend?
Yeah. Yep.
And Lane's daughter's dating Whit Weeks.
Yep. Did you see? Have you seen him? Her getting ready and asking him questions? Have you seen this?
Asking Lane questions?
Yeah, so she's getting ready for last weekend's game, getting putting her makeup on. And
she does this every week, right?
Yeah, right. They do a sit-down talk. She calls him her wallet, and he calls her the drain.
Boy, how accurate and honest is that?
That's it is. And but there's a picture of her sitting on Whit Weeks' lap, and apparently they are a thing. Not surprisingly, Lane was able to pull because she's a very pretty girl. The jeans are really good with that one, that's actually I watched it. I was like, this is actually kind of funny. I could see Lane Kiffin. Lane's got a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Lane's got a lot.
I can't believe I like him.
I know.
I didn't used to like him. I know how smarmy he is. I don't think he's always been the best guy.
I think he's changed some.
Maybe, but there's something about his honesty. Yeah. You know, he and Paul Feinbaum have gone at it, and it's been kind of nasty, some of the stuff Paul said. And now they have a relationship where they break each other's balls, and it's not even like it's an understood thing where they can sit on the panel together and do that to each other, and they're good with it. Like, it's almost a friendship thing, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that Lincoln Riley will never have a friendship with him. There's nobody that's been more critical of Lincoln Riley than
no, Paul if you're Feinbaum. Not in the SEC, Paul will just lay you out.
Yeah, well, and he accuses them of wanting to get out because they were moving to the SEC because he was scared. You know, that's ugly. That's an ugly relationship right there. Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-3776. You guys want to get in here, you're more than welcome. Right now, though, I'm talking about Coors Light. I'm talking about my refrigerator. I'm stocked. Are you? I just bought another 12-pack. I got me some beer for this weekend. I got my nephew coming over, and we will sit down. We're going to play some golf. When we're done with golf, we come home, and what do we want? Well, of course, we want some food. Get that food on the table, and get those Coors Lights on the table as well. Let's go, because I know this. We'll be cracking some Coors Lights, me and my nephew, this week, and I want you to, too. Whenever you have someone coming to your house, make sure that you're ready for them. Make sure, I mean, you want to clean the house. You want to make sure it's presentable, everything. You want to look nice. You got to have Coors Lights. You got to be ready with the Coors Lights for the people. As soon as you get there, crack one open, and now you've got yourself a party. It is cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Don't give them some motor oil beer. Give them what's best for everybody involved. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Make sure you stock up for this weekend because we got some good football with Coors Light.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, you just heard the Knicks play. He's another one who can't golf, by the way. Terrible. But and one of his commercials talks about, hey, the Astros are playing great. And okay.
Re-record.
Yeah, we're going to have to take that one out of rotation.
And then the Astros talk for a while. They lose yesterday 5-1.
So, I got a question for you. I mean, even if they make the playoffs, I mean, this team, we knew early on this team doesn't have it. And this team just doesn't. We got to have a serious conversation. Is the run over?
I think so. I think it's unfortunate. You know, because the pitching, it might not be if Zach Cole becomes that guy, if Cam Smith becomes that guy, you can make a point. Altuve's not going to play forever. Carlos Correa's 31, but still got some baseball left. Jeremy Pena looks like a young player. Yiner Diaz, you don't know what's going
Jordan's
on.
Jordan's young. Can't stay on the field.
Jordan can't stay on the field. But, you know, I think what the problem, my biggest concern is that these arm injuries, may have zapped this team.
Yeah.
And they may not be coming back like Verlander did. Verlander came back and won a Cy Young after having Tommy John. I don't know if that's going to – Luis Garcia, I don't – like, I feel like his career may be over. Lance McCullers is done. I haven't seen the same Christian Javier, although there are times – there are times it will get strikeouts.
Fromber's done. Okay.
Fromber will be gone.
Hunter, you still got.
Hunter's still really good.
You're going to have him.
Eric Geddy's still got a lot to prove. So I feel like the run might be over relative to the young players with the A's, but they'll get rid of them when they need to. The Mariners look like they're built to last a little bit now, and I could see them. They attacked the trade deadline and improved themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I want to ask you this, John. I'm thinking about all the arm injuries for the Astros and across Major League Baseball. And so I went and looked up some statistics for Tommy John surgeries, UCL surgeries, after Spider-Tac was banned. Spider-Tac was banned. The gripping substance was banned in 2021. It was huge for Gerrit Cole and others. It allows you to get spin more easily on the ball. Once they took it out, there were pitchers saying you have to work harder to generate spin. I don't know that it's not connected to where there have been more. There were 20 Tommy Johns in 2020, and then I think it went to 27, then 24, and then in the 30s this year or last year. I wonder if some of these arm issues are happening because teams who were using some spider tack to get a better grip on the ball to create spin rate are not able to do it anymore, and they've got to rely more on arm torque. And if that's one of the concerns and why so many arm issues are popping up, especially with our team. It used to just be McCullers. Now it's everybody.
Well, and the Astros were probably in the forefront with the sticky substance.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, all the teams were doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't argued about. The hitters didn't even really complain that much.
Yeah, and I don't know even if it was illegal. But it was became illegal, and then all of a sudden everybody's got Tommy Johns. Maybe there's some correlation. I don't know. I was a doctor. I'm not a doctor anymore. I've lost my license, so I don't know. There's a real possibility there. Look at you going and doing some research.
Yeah,
yeah, and then going. I don't know. It was like 30 or 24 or something.
Well, I'm trying to remember, but I remember it was. Right. It was a number in 20.
You could write it down or something.
He did all that research and didn't type any of it.
But the number has gone higher. Well, right. I was in my bed.
I looked at it, but I didn't. I think I could bring it to the show, but I won't. I didn't want to give
like all real numbers.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. But I'm proud of you that you went and looked.
Yeah, he looked up stuff and gave us inaccurate numbers.
That's great. Michael's on the line. Let's get him in here. Michael, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Hey, man. Lance and John, I respect you guys' opinion. So if the Texans end up winning three games all year, what happens? I mean, I love D'Amico. I like him as a coach, but head's got to roll. I mean, what do you do with DJ? I mean, I don't know. Like, if the Texans end up winning only three games, say they win four games, what's the end game here?
Will they get rid of D'Amico Ryans after? I think it'd be a huge mistake. I just don't believe in one and done. You know, you have an off year, 1 year. Last year they won the division, double digit wins both years in a row, and you're already teams that flip, that constantly move coordinators, constantly move head coaches. They're just poor teams. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's no continuity. There's no faith. There's no belief. There's antsy ownership. I'm worried that this ownership gets too
reactionary.
Reactionary to fan reaction. Yeah. Yeah. You can't do that. Now, I do think they think D'Amico's the guy, and I think D'Amico's got a chance to be the guy for sure. But he's got to get his play caller right. And he has to do his own work on defense. There's still, you know, he's not perfect.
Well,
on
this is probably this season, and if it is four wins, God forbid, I don't know. Hypothetically, how did they play? Were they shootouts, or was the defense bad? Was the defense really good? The offense just sucked. I mean, is it all on D'Amico? Is it CJ? Is it Kaylee? Is it Nick with the offensive line that he's put on the field? I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of issues with this team right now. I hate to be a hypothetical of four wins. I think they'll win more than that. We'll see though. But you got to see who's the culprit. Somebody's going to catch it. It might be Nick that catches it. Might be Nick.
He's got a long contract.
We know Cal and Hannah love D'Amico and love CJ, right? I don't know what they think. They probably really like Nick Caserio, but Nick Caserio's got to take his heat for this.
You know, Nick Caserio is one of the most highest paid. So here's the story on that one. What is believed to have happened is Jack Easterby was trying to save his own job because Omar Khan from the Steelers was going to be the next general manager of the Houston Texans, and the head coach is going to be Jim Caldwell. And I got that on pretty good authority. And Omar Khan at the last second found out that he was not going to be the guy. Jamie Roots was incredibly disappointed by that because he thought it was a done deal, that Omar Khan was going to be the guy. And what had happened was Jack found out, and Jack made an end around and went and threw a Hail Mary and convinced Cal that, hey, we need to go get Nick Caserio. This is the guy we were talking about a couple of years ago. Let's get on a plane and let's finalize this with Nick Caserio. Let's bring him back into the mix. And Omar thought he was going to be the guy. And they went and got Nick Caserio, and Nick said, yeah, I'll come. Well, then Jack Easterby, who the reason he threw the Hail Mary is because he knew he was on thin ice, and he had asked Laramie Tunsil, will you have my back, you know, when the new guy comes in, and tell him I need to stay? And he goes, bleep no, I'm not going to have your back. I don't care about you. And that's when Jack's like, uh-oh. And so Jack went through the Hail Mary. He completed it. Nick Caserio became the guy. And then Jack negotiated, I want to say it was a six-year, $5 million a year contract. Really high. Long and high dollar for Nick Caserio. And the thought, first of all, they might have had the same agent as well. I think they had the same agent too. It's a huge conflict of interest. I mean, just a huge conflict of interest. And he gave a deal that I think he wanted to do that because he was hoping that would, you know, tie him into the Texans for long term. Once he gets the GM and the GM has some power and, hey, I'm the guy, you know, who got you this deal. I need you to look out for me. But at some point, I don't know that Nick really cared. At the end of the day, Nick is a football robot. He knows Jack's not a football guy. And Nick may appreciate him. Nick may like him. But Jack Easterby's not going to help you win any games. And so I think Nick, when it all was said and done, I think Hannah and Cal figured out, I know this is the fact, Hannah and Cal figured out who Easterby was, and Easterby was gone. But in the meantime, he gave Nick this unbelievably high-priced deal for a GM, first-time GM, and most GMs are first-time. And it was on the heels of, you know, terrible deals, taking on David Johnson's contract, a Laramie Tunsil deal that allowed him to have all leverage. Like, the contracts at the Texans that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby gave out were absolutely atrocious. And I would throw Nick Caserio in there. Nick Caserio got a deal that wasn't even negotiated. I mean, they're just handing him money. So now, you know, you're paying him a lot of money, and I would argue that you're not getting your money.
Well, you're on the back end of it now, though. So
yeah.
Have they extended him? I think they've extended him.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Nick got an extension as well, along with everybody else. That we're great. Everything is great. 10-7, two playoff runs in a row, and now this. And I, you know what? I don't know who's going to catch it. I don't think D'Amico catches it. I'm not sure. Again, CJ's got to play a lot better if he wants to be a $60 million player, that's for sure. A lot better.
Does he have to?
Yes, he absolutely has to.
Did you see what Trevor Lawrence made?
Yeah, CJ.
Actually, quarterbacks don't have to play well to get paid a lot of money. They actually don't. You just need to be average and have a team that's afraid to move on from you. That's all you need. It doesn't really take much anymore. That's the terrifying thing, is that you don't even have to be good to get paid. Wow. CJ, and David Mulgeta, make no mistake, somebody said, why didn't they put Davis Mills in there? Any other team that was 0-3, the quarterback would be benched. If you bench CJ Stroud, I can guarantee you that David Mulgeta will make sure that you know how displeased he is. And that will be the beginning of C.J. Stroud getting ready to leave the Houston Texans.
Yeah, if you sit him, you might as well say goodbye.
Yep.
As far as
– Marquette ain't going to put up
as with as far as Caserio, there was a conversation. Landry Locker talked about it. But John McClain says he has 4 years left on his contract.
So he must have gotten an extension.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he did.
There was an initial thought from Landry that he didn't, but then he did some research and found out he did get a couple extra years. So he's got 4 years left.
I remember, was it last offseason? He got a couple of years, a couple more years.
I mean, do y'all know how long that is? That 4 years still left? Of course, he did win two divisions in a row. So, I mean, that's
the AFC South. You have to congratulate people. The Texans are like the Aggies. Who was coming to scoop up Nick Caserio?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody wants him?
Clearly.
The North Carolina?
He was going to be the GM there instead of Lombardi?
Yeah, Mike Lombardi wouldn't be there. Bill would bring him in to do where Bill would still boss him around.
Let's face it. Mike Lombardi has not done a very good job as GM there. Wow. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. You got any questions, you're more than welcome. Here, we got 1 hour left. Don't you go anywhere. Right now, we got John Daspit.
Yeah, the Daspit Law Firm. This is the company that works overtime for you. And John is, man, he is a worker now. He is a worker. And he expects all of his lawyers to be the same kind of worker. If it requires some time on the weekend, that's what it is. But they're going to put their time in to make sure that your cases are handled properly. And that means putting the necessary time in to discovering all of the medical bills that need to be paid. And some of them, you know, a lot of us won't go. You get injured at the workplace. You just think, well, that's just how it goes. And that's just not how it goes. You want to be responsible for those. Now, I'm not going to be responsible because I'm not going to get myself looked at. Well, don't be stupid. Okay. You could end up with a debilitated shoulder or back or neck or whatever that gets worse and worse and worse. Or if you're injured badly and you just say, look, I don't have insurance, I'm not going to be able to pay for it. John Daspit is going to make sure you don't pay for it. Get the CT scan, the MRI, the x-rays, all of it done. Insurance is going to pay for that. Your time missed from work, insurance is going to take care of that. And then he's going to make sure your pain and suffering number is the right number for insurance to pay as well. Let John Daspit fight for you. He'll get you a big win, and he's got a winning percentage that's incredible because he knows what he's doing, and he fights and fights and fights, and he will not give in to the insurance companies. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713, call now or go to DaspitLaw.com.